My name is Alex Jewell. I'm the Director of Athletic Development at the University of Wyoming. And today I'm joined by
Katie Gonzalez, the Assistant AD for Athletic Communications at Illinois Wesleyan University.
And Chad Cooper, Director of Strategic Communications at Temple University.
We are members of the College Sports Communicators Diversity and Inclusion Committee. And as part of our committee's work to provide information to assist CSC members with diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, we have launched a podcast for you today to talk about celebrating diversity in the month of April. Our podcast is going to delve into the conversation as it relates to this topic. And I think hopefully for everybody, it should be a great point of discussion. As a reminder, if you heard us do this last year, I would say that we're all versed in these topics, but we're not necessarily the industry experts by any means. So our hope is to start a conversation with you. Hopefully you're listening in your car or on your lunch break or wherever you may be. And we really want to start jogging the minds of industry professionals. Let's have an open and honest conversation. Chad, Katie, I think that's our goal here. And some things we say, some people might disagree with. And I think in honor of what we're doing, that's probably a great thing. And so we ask you to really dive into this, jog your own mind, talk to individuals in your office and in your network. Let's start a conversation. And I would tell you, if anybody has points of emphasis, you're listening to this or has different ideas and topics, shoot us a message. Let us know. Let's all be part of the conversation together as we celebrate diversity in the month of April. And so with that in mind, I think we'll dive right into a topic that has become more and more prevalent in the last years, especially, but has interesting roots and interesting developments. And is something that we really need to talk about. And that is affinity months. We have so many of them now. Every single day, by the way, is a different day of celebration for something. Most of the days are not, I guess, anything meaningful. It's like National Donut Day or those things. But affinity months surely have a much more important place in our society and also in our industry. And so, Chad, why don't we start the conversation with you? I know this is something that you have focused a lot on. And first and foremost, why don't we just have a quick conversation about what the affinity months are, if that's a topic that somebody hasn't necessarily heard of. Everybody knows what they are, but maybe haven't heard that term.
Affinity months are months like February being Black History Month, March being Women's History Month, May being AAPI Month, the middle of October to the middle of November being Hispanic Heritage Month, Pride Month, things where we are told that this is the month where we focus on these particular groups. And the biggest thing is we're told, okay, we need to care about these groups for this month, but what happens when the month ends? And I think in order to understand where we need to go with this, it's important to recognize the history of why these months exist. There's an old saying that history books are written by those in power, and a lot of the time, marginalized groups aren't in enough power or in enough of a position of influence to be able to write the history books. So a lot of the history gets forgotten about until a vocal enough group steps up to say, hey, don't forget, we were a part of this too. And so that's where you come into groups saying, or the groups that are quote unquote in power, have the influence, have the ability to legislate, say, okay, well, fine, we'll give you this month. Okay, fine, we'll give you that month. But I think the conversation that we really need to base things around is just because the month ends doesn't mean the history of that group ends. Just because it's March 1st doesn't mean we forget about Black history for the next 11 months. Just because it's July 1st doesn't mean that we forget about the LGBTQIA plus community for the next 11 months. These months need to be starting points, not ending points of discussion.
I think that's a really good point. I like how you said these months need to be starting points. I think we all agree that the months themselves and having those designations is important, especially in the industry that we're in. Katie, I'm wondering, you are somebody who's been in this field for quite some time and has had a lot of experience in this. Let's start the conversation with the months at hand. And so pick whatever affinity month you'd like to cover. But how do we start during that month and honor it in the right way, where it's not just becoming We're going to throw out a graphic once a week for 4 weeks. I mean, where do you start with your staff and with your department on making sure, one, first and foremost, before we expand the conversation about a certain affinity month to the other 11 months, how do we first make sure we're doing our due diligence in the actual month to be creative, to be unique, and to provide, I would say, meaningful messaging around that month to really make the most impact on our campuses?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you think about how you do it right within that month, I think you can only do it right if you're doing it regularly outside in those other 11 months, as Chad suggested. And I think that goes a long way. And that sets you up to be able to do the right things in those months. So it's pre-existing relationships that you have with your Black Student Athlete Association that you get, you ask people who are part of those groups, what story do you want to tell? What do we want to do here? It's not on one person. It's not on one department, but, you know, talking with the student athletes on your campus and seeing what they want to see, you know, SAC is a great resource. We have other affinity groups within our athletic department that are good resources for us that we talk to about various affinity months, and we come up with plans with them, because you never want to be in a situation where you're only reaching out to those kids during that month for a quote because you want to, you know, put this graphic out. Well, that's not the meaning of the month, right? When I think of the month, I think of, you know, where women's basketball is at right now. Obviously, that's a hot topic with the huge TV numbers they're putting up and things like that. And in a lot of the discussions you hear, a lot of the press conferences you hear, we're here and we're having great success, but it's because of the people that came before us that have built it to this point. And I think that all goes back to history and what Chad said of like, where did they start and why are these months so important? And when you remember the why, I think that can kind of lead you forward.
Okay, I'm going to follow up with you real quick, Katie, because you know one of my passions is asking you challenging questions. And I think I didn't ask you a hard enough question there. And so I like what you said about, one, it needs to be regular relationships in order to properly honor the affinity month. But we've all been in situations with our own departments where maybe we do a great job of Black History Month, but we don't do a good enough job with Women's History Month yet. And so a lot of the time, you also mentioned it's not just on the communication staff, but we are a lot of the times the relationship builders and the relationship holders. And so if you're at an institution that hasn't done a good enough job of incorporating these months into the regular process of student athlete development and really the department as a whole, how do you begin some of those conversations on your campus? Because at some point, if you have a great relationship with different groups across campus, like you said, it becomes more natural to do these things. But all of us have been in a spot where maybe we don't have that relationship yet. And so now it is March and it is time to talk about Women's History Month, and we don't even know where to begin. How do you bridge those initial gap and have that open and vulnerable conversation of, we're going to come to you, we haven't done a good enough job yet, but here's what we want to do and how we want to maintain it in the future?
You love hard-hitting questions, Alex. It's your favorite. You know, that's a great question. I think it's not always easy, right? I think you have to have those relationships, but you have to start somewhere with building them. I think, you know, one of the good things with where most athletic departments are now is there's a role, right? There's an ADID in every NCAA athletic department. They might not have all the answers, but maybe they have some better resources that the communication staff can benefit from and how to do that. Maybe they have the relationship with the student athletes or coaches that might help in those areas. And so when I say that you have to have the relationship, I'm not saying you individually have to have the relationship with every person that you can feel comfortable, but maybe there's someone that you know within your department that wants to see everyone do a better job, because ultimately, you know, the first time you do anything is not going to be the best time you do it. And I think that goes to, you know, that is in play here when you're talking about how do you best recognize affinity months. Your first year doing it, you might be like, all right, let's try and get some things. Let's try and build off what we've done before. But eventually it's going to get better and better. And those relationships are going to get stronger. That trust is going to be there. I think that's another huge piece of it.
You know, Katie, I want to build off of something that you've been talking about with the relationship building, and something that you had mentioned about, if all we do is go to members of a certain group during their month, your student athletes see that. You know, they see that and they know that because, and I'm going to throw some numbers out at you right here. To give you an example, if you are reaching out to a member of the Latino population, there's a ratio, according to the NCAA demographic database for 21-22, the ratio of Hispanic student athletes to communications personnel is 501-1. So the vast majority of the time, it's going to be somebody like who looks like myself or Alex who is going to be asking a Latina student athlete about, hey, what can we do for this? And if you're only asking it from the middle of September to the middle of October, they're going to know it. If you're only asking your Black student athletes, what do you want to see in the month of February? They're going to know it. And it really becomes a look of, and quite frankly, checking a box and being performative. You know, why is the white person asking me what I want to see strictly during my month? That's another reason why it is so critically important to make sure that we extend the discussions, the conversations, and the recognition beyond just the affinity month that exists.
Well, I'll tell you what, people, you knew that with media relations and communications minded individuals on this call, it would only be a matter of time before Chad whipped out some statistics on us. And I think that's a good statistic. But one thing you talked about, Chad, is the idea of asking, though. And I do think while you have to navigate that in a comfortable way and in a natural way, I do think asking for the student athlete's input is a better way to go about things than just saying, hey, I had this idea for how we're going to celebrate Black History Month. What do you think? I think that's, we do have to include our student athletes in the discussion. And you almost stole my thunder a little bit because, you know, one of the things I tell staff and individuals from the external side of things all the time is the student athletes are a lot smarter and a lot more in tune with what we're doing than I think people give them credit for, which is something we also need to change, talking outside of affinity months. But I think you're dead on, Chad. If you're talking to them one time a month or one time a year, and that's where the conversation ends, they notice that. But they also notice, hey, Chad's around all the time, and he's always willing to say, how are things going? What's new in your life? What's important to you this year? What are you focusing on? And I think if we're having those conversations in our roles 365 days a year, then trust is built up. A relationship is built up. And then, Chad, when you go to your students ahead of Women's History Month, Black History Month, whatever it may be, Pride Month, and then you say, you don't even have to say it because they know that you have a relationship with them and you care. And then the tone completely changes when you say, Chad, what should we do this year to really emphasize this point during the Affinity Month? But then also, what can we do to carry it out throughout 365 days? And I think the relationship and the trust that starts there and things become much more natural and beneficial when you have that relationship with the students and the staff, whoever it may be.
Yeah, and I definitely didn't want to make it seem like we need to supply the ideas to the student athletes. The student athletes definitely need to come forward and have some of those ideas, and we definitely need to be asking them. But you're absolutely right. It is about building that sort of a relationship, making sure that you know what it is that they are concerned about, what student athletes want to know and really need to be a part of the conversation. And another thing about it is also being intentional, the timing of when you ask. If you are asking somebody towards the end of their affinity month, it's almost even worse because then it comes across as, oh no, we forgot about this. What can we do to make sure that we're getting something out there right away? If you are talking to somebody about Women's History Month, if you're talking to a member of a women's lacrosse team, a softball team, gymnastics, fencing, I'm throwing out some sports that we have here that not everybody has. And you're talking to them in the beginning of February about what can we do in order to do things for Women's History Month. That has an even greater impact because it shows the intentionality of the department that this is a topic and an item that is incredibly important to us.
I think that's a really good point. And I actually, Chad, to your earlier point, I think you were definitely going about it in the right way and how you're approaching student athletes. But I think some of us, it is easy for our departments. I think going back to when we're covering something for the first time, for it to be more, well, our department had this great idea and we're just going to throw it at everybody. You're obviously well past that. But I wanted to make a point of emphasizing, I think going back to what Katie and I were mentioning earlier, if you are in a spot where maybe you're doing some of this for the first time, I think it's very important to focus relationship first and then making it an interactive process, however you determine that that should be. But shifting on that too, the month comes to an end. It comes to an end quick, especially in intercollegiate athletics. We know how busy our staff and our students are and our fans are. So let's start diving into, we've tackled how to go about celebrating the months when they come about. We've tackled how to make sure that we're doing it in a way that is comfortable for our student athletes and our staff. When the month ends, Katie, the month ends, right? We're good for the next 11 months. We don't have to do anything else.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, we're done with this episode of the podcast, I suppose. But fortunately, no. You have to continue it. I think, you know, we talk about our staff when we come up with plans for the year or for, I think, of a specific, you know, campaign type of thing we have going on. It's the 50th anniversary of Division III athletics. And so in August, we met as a group. We came up with a kind of story outline of what we want to do throughout the year to keep that prevalent, you know, looking back at history, but also looking ahead, you know, blending that. And we came up with a list, a storyboard, all the ideas we could, right? And then we looked at it and we said, there's a lot of softball on there, or there's a lot of sport X or sport Y. Well, you can't have one thing that just continues to hammer the same thing over and over and over again. And so we spaced things out. We have 26 sports at Illinois Wesleyan, and, you know, 12 months, you're maybe not going to cover all of them. And some of them don't have the same history that the others do. But how can we kind of touch point each individually in different ways to make sure that we're giving them the spotlight, you know, whether it's our bowling program or our men's golf program, who's won 2 national championships in the last 5 years. How do you balance that? And I think as long as you're keeping that in mind and you're being intentional and cognizant of what you're choosing to do in those 11 months and making sure it's not, I'm going to this person every time I need something. You know, if the university needs photos for something of an event, I'm always giving them this kid. Like, that is where I think people get tripped up and sometimes they don't even realize it.
It's a really good point. I know Chad's going to want to build on it as well. But I think a point of emphasis to make with especially industry professionals in the communications field that might be listening to this. I think you just said it. I think sometimes we're hesitant to do things maybe, or maybe intimidated to do things because we feel like it has to be a major public campaign. Okay, we're going to make celebrating the women in our department a full year campaign. Those things are great. And that can be really effective. But to your point, Katie, I don't think it has to be that every time. There is value in, hey, let's take a look at our website. How many times are we using certain sports? How many times are we featuring the same athlete? How many times are we featuring a white athlete and not an athlete of color? Those little changes can be done naturally and honestly fairly easily without making a huge external push. But going back to what we talked about earlier, student athletes notice, your constituents notice, your fans notice. Chad, I think doing little things like that is maybe a great place to start. And it all goes back to, if you're doing those things as a department and as an industry professional, it's a great base to have. And then when you do the bigger campaigns, you're already off to a great foundation there. But I think something little like that really isn't something little at all. It can make a major impact.
It really can. And I think the biggest pushback that I can see people within our industry having is, well, this one athlete has dominated the sport. They've been the key aspect of the sport all year long. So yeah, I have to use photos of them, but you don't have to use a photo of that student athlete, that exact same student athlete, every single time if you're posting a preview story. You don't have to use a photo of that student athlete every single time if you are trying to promote a giving day for a team, you know. So there are different ways that you can go about doing that. another thing that I was thinking about as Katie was talking was sometimes you actually wind up opening the eyes of the people, quote unquote, across campus. You know, Katie, you mentioned that you don't want to use the same student athlete all the time when they're asking for pictures of diversity. And I remember at a previous institution, I always got, hey, can you send us some photos of diversity? Can you send us some photos of diverse student athletes that aren't these four people? And I kind of wanted to say back, okay, which of our six football players would you like me to give you? Because we only have six minority football players. Which of our one baseball players who hasn't played all year would you like me to give you? Because we only have one minority baseball player. I can't give you that from soccer. I can't give you that from field hockey. And it was an eye-opening moment for the university, because athletics was and still is the most diverse area of that particular university. When they realized that their most diverse area had very little diversity for a school that prided themselves on being multicultural.
Here's something I think is an interesting point of conversation too. We talk about, Katie, you mentioned earlier, it can't all be on you as a media relations or communications person to be responsible for educating, implementing, and showcasing these topics throughout your whole department. You've got to have some help in terms of how this is being recognized. But at the same time, I think we all know a lot of the times we do have power in the fact that you have the closest relationships with the student athletes, often outside of the coaching staffs. You're around the programs at a more intricate and intimate level. And so I think, isn't there some responsibility, Katie, on you and on Chad and on myself and on whoever's listening? Part of diversity, too, doesn't just have to be, well, we're going to celebrate, and to Chad's point, well, we're going to give campus the pictures of our six student athletes who maybe have a different skin tone, or, you know, part of the focus is easy to focus on, well, this student athlete is performing the most on the field, so we're always going to use this picture. Isn't part of the conversation for us to challenge others to talk about the different stories of the student athletes? We know when a student athlete may have, it may be that they have an incredibly diverse background, that they've got a worldly experience that somebody else doesn't have. And so isn't it on us to put that at the forefront as well and remind ourselves, to Chad's point, you know, this person is averaging 25 points a game, but let's highlight another student athlete and tell their story. They might be averaging 2 points a game, but they've got a really unique story that we should be sharing. And that aids in the way that we honor the diversity throughout our institutions as well.
If they are comfortable with it. And I think that is a big, big aspect of it. Not everybody is always comfortable about talking about how they are different and unique. There is a very large factor of it that determines whether or not they are comfortable, and that's personal to everybody. So I want to throw that particular disclaimer out there.
I think that's a really good disclaimer, but to go off of that a little bit, Katie, maybe you can answer this. Is it not, if they are comfortable sharing that story, and if they want to have that platform, we need to help give them that platform. And oftentimes, I think out of the departments at a university, we have the best opportunities to help give them that platform. Completely agree with you, Chad. Can't agree with you anymore on it has to be comfortable. But there are student athletes out there who I think say, I am proud to share the story. I want an outlet to do it. Nobody's given me that yet. And if that's what we're hearing, we need to also do our due diligence to make sure we're providing that platform.
Absolutely.
100%. You know, brings a story to mind of last year, Chad. And I think that having their willingness to be vulnerable and share their story is so important. We had a student athlete last year that I knew he had done a ton of stuff on campus within athletics, outside of athletics, for our LGBTQI+ community on campus. And the NCAA awards and NCAA LGBTQ student athlete of the year. He was going to be a graduating senior. I had just seen like the mentorship, the friendship, all that he had done to make our campus better and more accepting and inclusive and just making people feel welcome and seen. And so, you know, I brought it up of like, you know, maybe I can put him up for this award. And they were like, oh yeah, do it. And I was like, well, hold the phone. I'm going to have him come in. He and I can talk through it. We can look through the application and see if he's okay with that. It's a great recognition, but it is something different, right? It's not academic All-American where you're putting them up based on grades and you're putting them up on athletics. It's something more personal. And so he came in and we talked about it and he was appreciative of just being asked that he would be okay with it. And I think that goes with the trust and everything that you talked about, Chad. But in regards to the question, Alex, I would say, again, women's basketball analogy here, but if you go to Iowa's website, Caitlin Clark is not every photo on their women's basketball page right now. You've got Kate Martin, you've got Gabby Marshall, and the list goes on and on. With the different players that they have spotlight or used as a story photo, something super simple that everyone sees and everyone knows. And I think, you know, to Alex's point, the student athletes see that, their parents see it, the fans see it. And there's plenty of people that you can kind of share their stories as long as they're willing to do so.
All right. Now here's where this gets totally nuanced and we're going to put ourselves in a twister. Those are all incredible points. I think they make a lot of sense, but to that as well, we've got somebody like Caitlin Clark right now in women's basketball. Isn't it about damn time we put her on the forefront for what she's doing athletically on the court? And not make it about, this is a women's basketball player doing this. Make it about, this is a basketball player that's shooting 35 footers that nobody else is making. I think we have to be fair too, that if we do have somebody doing incredible athletic things and having athletic accomplishments, it doesn't always just have to be about, hey, there's a woman doing this, or hey, there's a black student athlete doing this. There's a student athlete of color who's doing great on the baseball field. At some point too, we need to make it about, they're just doing great on the baseball field. So where do we find that balance? That's a question I'm going to leave for you two to answer, because I think it's a really tough thing, but man, we've been so many years hoping for, can we just have a conversation at some point about some of these incredible athletic accomplishments that these kids are putting up, these young student athletes. So we've got to find a balance of that as well.
You can't ignore, you know, what is happening. Like, you know, we've all been in the business long enough. It is much easier and much more fun to work and be side by side with a team that's seeing incredible success, or a student athlete that is just lighting the world on fire. And you can't turn an eye to that. That's an incredible accomplishment. And you, just because you're spotlighting that, doesn't mean you need to take away from something else or someone else. And if you're showing it, if you're putting another story at the forefront, doesn't mean it's taking away from star student athlete over here. It's not give and take. It's kind of giving everyone their own.
I was actually in a situation, not to Caitlin Clark's level, because there's nothing on Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese or any of those players' level. But I was in a somewhat similar situation to that last year, where we had one player who was everything. And we're talking actually matched Caitlin Clark. And actually, I should say, Caitlin Clark needed the national championship game to match her in number of 40-point games in a season and to match her in scoring for the year. And so there was a lot that was written about this one student athlete, and it was great to be able to try to find that balance, being able to promote her both as a student athlete and as an international student and as a student athlete of color. But what we were able to do because of her accomplishment was it was able to focus an eye on the team itself and not just that one player. And through that, we were able to talk about what our point guard was doing and how for every assist that she had made, people were donating money to a cause for Angelmanson, you know. So I think one of the biggest things is if you've got a student athlete who is at the forefront, use that as a way to open the door to be able to showcase what your other student athletes are doing. And if there's more conversation around the other student athletes, Katie, as you said, it's not taking away from the quote star. Okay. At the end of the day, people are going to want to talk about Caitlin Clark. At the end of the day, people are going to want to talk about Angel Reese, Camilla Cardozo, and, you know, I'm just throwing out names from the tournament right now, but they're also going to want to talk about the other players on the team, because that's the way that you open the door to be able to discuss some of the amazing things that Martin, Stolke, all of those players are doing on Iowa. Oh, by the way, this player's averaging 12 points a game with 7 rebounds a game and is a 4.0 student in biomedical engineering. It's a way to open the door, not just say, oh, you're taking away coverage from somebody who deserves it.
Well, and I think too, and answer me if I'm wrong, but I think it's easy to get in the mindset of the content and the coverage we produce is one pie. And if we take a slice away from a student athlete who's performing, that's taking something away from somebody else. There's no reason we can't make a bigger pie or make two pies. I mean, there's, to Chad's point, there's room there for that and to grow both of those avenues. And isn't that in some way the best way to honor everything we're talking about and honor the diversity and the success of our student athletes?
Equity is not a pie. Equity is not a baked good. If you take a point away from somebody else, or if you, let me rephrase, if you give a point or give something to somebody, it doesn't mean you're taking away from somebody else. It's about lifting up rather than, well, we did this for them, so we need to balance it out. Okay. That's one of my biggest pet peeves is the argument of, oh, well, you know, we did this, so we have to do this. Well, why can't we do both? You're not taking away from somebody by showing a light on somebody else. And that's unfortunately where we've come to in society is, and I don't necessarily want to get off on a massive tangent here, but that's unfortunately where we've come to in many ways of the thought that, well, if we give this person this, I'm going to have less. No, you're not. You're going to have the exact same amount. We're just giving somebody who hasn't had that before the same rights that you already have.
Let's bring this full circle, because I think this is a good point to make as we go back to the conversation about affinity months, especially if you're starting out for the first time and are trying very, very hard to make sure we respect the group that's being honored, that we take all the time to really put them on a pedestal, to make sure we're covering them in the best way possible. That does not mean, though, Katie, that if we're doing it right, that other groups and affinities can't be honored at the same time. You don't have to stop giving coverage to your female student athletes just to talk about the Black History Month and your Black student athletes. You don't have to, during Women's History Month or during Pride Month, stop honoring your Black student athletes or your women's student athletes because we're focusing on a different group. We can do both. You can feel comfortable knowing, because part of our conversation earlier was, how do you extend this out throughout the year? There's ways to intertwine those. Just because it's Pride Month doesn't mean you also can't still do your features on women's student athletes or talk about different student athletes and share their stories. It's a chance to enhance what we're doing. But I think it's fair to say you can't just, you don't need to fear just cutting those out altogether to make sure we're covering an affinity month. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think we work in communications, and so this should be pretty simply understood. There's a difference between or and this is an and. You know, you have an and from, you can do both. And I think that's really important to always remember that you can't only be highlighting the specific affinity group for those 31 days or 30 days or 28 or whatever it might be. You can't just do it then, because people notice that. We've talked about that. I also think that, so when you think of it being an and, you also have to think about intersectionality. Like, one person's identity has many pieces, and so they might fall into different areas as well. I think some of the cool stuff in terms of content that, you know, I've seen put out, and I think of Women's History Month, obviously March just ending, is when they have, you know, maybe it's a Temple men's basketball player talking about his mom's influence or his, you know, whatever female's influence on them and how that has impacted them. That's still part of that story. It might not be them individually who's spotlighted, but that is such a big piece of why they are, where they are, and who they are.
Katie, I really would like to thank you for having read everything that has been published about that one particular student athlete this year. I say that somewhat tongue in cheek, but you hit the nail right on the head there. You know, one thing that we have had a student athlete who's been, and on the men's basketball team actually, who has been very, very vocal about his support for a particular situation that came about because of how that situation affected both his sister and his mom. And it's one of the reasons that when he was deciding where to transfer, Temple was right at the top of the list because, yes, the coaches were great. The school was great. It was an opportunity for him that he wouldn't have had at his previous institution. But the National Foundation for this particular topic happens to be 30 minutes up Broad Street in Jenkintown. As you said, how people within a group impact people within another group is a great way to tie everything together.
And I think going off of that, too, a lot of us who might be listening to this call or part of this call, there are topics that we're still getting more and more comfortable with, that we're getting educated on as well. I think every group that I've talked to, student athletes, other constituents, it's okay to not be perfect on a topic. It's okay to not be 100% educated on a topic. If you think you are lying to yourself, you're lying to your student athletes. But I think all of us would agree, no matter what group that we're a part of, no matter what our background, what our diversity, whatever it may be, boy, it's a lot better to get off the sidelines and throw yourself into a vulnerable situation and try to be part of the story and of the change than to just sit back and not do anything.
I'm going to tease the Diversity and Inclusion Committee's presentation that is coming up at the CSD convention in Las Vegas, where we're actually dealing a lot with that topic. You know, we've had a lot of conversations in the last 3 to 4 years. But one thing that I've always said is one of the big differences between athletics and other parts of universities is that we are people who are doers. We find a way to get things done. We've had conversations. How do we turn those conversations into tangible results? And so that's going to be the primary topic of conversation at the Diversity and Inclusion Committee's presentation at the convention this year. One of the things, though, that I usually, and, you know, I'm not trying to wrap us up early if we have more to discuss, but one of the things that I tell people when I speak on this topic is, as we talked about, the ends of Affinity Month aren't the ends of the conversation. They're beginning of the conversation. We've had the conversation. We need to keep that conversation going, not just check a box, not just be performative. And one of the ways that you can do that is to remember this. Anything that you do is going to be too much for some people. And everything that you do isn't going to be enough for some people. So what can you do? As much as you can to make your space the best it can be.
Thank you so much for joining us for our podcast. You can find this podcast and much more DEI-specific content at collegesportscommunicators.com/CSC for change.